Welcome to the Coach Brittany Nicole podcast. My name is Brittany Nicole. I'm a life coach and I train women who are recovering from abuse to reclaim their power. Today, it's story time. I am going to tell you about how stress nearly killed me and how it actually kind of saved me. This is also kind of a side note, but I want to acknowledge that this podcast previously used to be called the Stress in the City podcast. And that was part of the reason why I chose that name, because stress had become such a theme in my life that at the time it just felt like a fitting way to acknowledge the place that I was in. But I digress. So buckle up, because for this, I need to go back into the archives of my life, because what led to my nervous breakdown was decades of accumulated stress, trauma, and abuse. So here we go. First of all, let's start with the fact that I was raised in a single parent household. Not going to give you my whole childhood life story because that's boring. It's not boring, but I don't feel like doing it. But I will say that, you know, that comes with a lot of emotional and physical responsibility as a child, which makes an indelible imprint on you. And for me, it made me really emphasize normalcy. Like, that was what I craved. That was my ultimate goal. That was what I was aspiring for in life, was to have a normal, drama-free family, a modest home, just a regular, nice life. That's what I had in my head. So I got married young, too young. And a few months into being married, I discovered infidelity number one, which totally shocked me and threw me off. I hadn't had any inclination that my partner at the time was anything like that. But it was then that I realized that I actually had no idea who I was married to. And it was also then that I realized just how permanent marriage was. I really didn't get it prior to then. God, I will remember that day. I will never forget it. But I, at the time, felt like I had no choice but to try and get through it. I didn't want to go back home. It was too embarrassing to admit what happened. So I swallowed it. But from that point on, trust was broken. And the infidelities, the lies, manipulation, it just increased over the years. Eventually, I started going to therapy, and my very first session, my therapist called out the fact that I seemed like I was staying married out of obligation and that I was obviously suffering. And I denied it. I was like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. But I knew what she was talking about. I knew it was true when she said it. I thought about it constantly on the way home. Her words rang in my ears and it irritated me. She saw through me immediately. But I was going to therapy because I thought I just needed to fix myself in order to make things work. Yeah, that's where I was mentally. Ooh, child. After I discovered the third infidelity, I moved out. And for a few months, I was actually really happy on my own. I was like, okay, this is my chance to kind of start over and figure out who I am. I was good. Then this lovely thing called COVID hit. And I was afraid. I was afraid of getting sick. I was under a lot of pressure from my social circle to rush forgiveness. And, you know, this is something that I hate. people love to tell you God hates a divorce, but at the same time call themselves neutral. You know, I honestly believe that most people are well-meaning when they say stuff like that. They think they're trying to prevent you from making a mistake. But what I heard was God hates you if you get a divorce. So I attempted to reconcile, even though everything in my gut said no, even though I truly didn't want to, even though I still didn't feel safe. I did it because that's what other people thought was best for me. And this was the darkest period of my life. I was abusing drugs and alcohol for the first time in my life every day, every single day. And you know what? I was functional. I was super functional working through the pandemic. I was doing my own therapy. We were doing couples therapy at the time. It was like this dark secret that I had. And I was, you know, with the pandemic, obviously isolated from my friends, isolated from my family. I was trying to reconcile a relationship where I didn't feel safe, where I didn't feel loved, where I didn't want to be. And the thought that constantly tortured me was that people that I thought loved me were happy to see me working things out, even though I was in excruciating pain. Like, I felt like it didn't matter that I was miserable. As long as I was married, I was doing a good job. I hated everything. I hated everything. I hated being awake. I hated God. And that's not me. That's not me at all. I slid into the deepest, darkest, heaviest, longest depression that I've ever been in. And then my body broke. I don't know any other way to explain it. She just broke. Like, I had experienced at that point so much trauma at the hands of others, at my own hands, and my body was done with me. I started having panic attacks. Only when I laid in the bed, and it would last hours. I'd be laying in bed, writhing in pain, feeling like lava was running through my veins. I wish I was exaggerating, but it was a very fire-like sensation. My brain burned. And I'd lay in the bed for hours praying for it to stop. I'd fall asleep for a few minutes. And because my body was so flooded with cortisol, I'd have a nightmare that would wake me up and put me right back into a panic attack. It was like being burned alive every night, night after night, for months. I started to kind of develop a fear of falling asleep because I knew as soon as I laid in the bed that the torture was going to begin. And in addition to the panic attacks, I started having a really horrible relationship with sleep, where days would go by and I would sleep like a combination of 4 to 5 hours. And I don't know if you've ever experienced extreme sleep deprivation, but after a certain point of being so sleep deprived, being awake physically hurts. It was like, I never want to experience anything like that again. I would never wish that on even my worst enemy, maybe my worst enemy. I might wish it on my worst enemy. Yeah, I would. I'm that petty. But anyway, here's what's interesting, though. I can speak about this time now because there's, you know, been some distance and I've done an incredible amount of healing on my body. So I can say this now. I definitely didn't feel it in the moment, but that was actually the best thing that has ever happened for me. The best thing. I hit complete, utter, and total rock bottom. And I knew that this was life or death for me if I didn't get better. It was. There was no way that I could continue existing with extreme sleep deprivation and hours and hours and hours of daily, well, nightly panic attacks. I became so committed to myself and so committed to my healing. I started working out regularly. I changed my diet. I started seeing all kinds of holistic doctors and nutritionists. I started meditating religiously. I would spend my days listening to lectures about the biological impacts of stress and hormones and trauma. I would walk in the park sometimes for hours and hours, listening to books and podcasts and educating myself. And what I learned was how to explain scientifically how stress corrodes the nervous system. I was so educated on it that when I first visited the holistic doctor that I worked with for a while, they thought I was a doctor from the way that I could speak on, you know, different aspects of hormonal patterns. I got really, really serious. I got really vigilant about my energy, my boundaries. I started paying attention to every symptom, every message coming from my body. I would pay attention to what raised my heart rate. I would notice when my diaphragm felt tight. I would notice what triggered my nightmares. I got sober. I prioritized sleep like an 85-year-old lady. Okay? It was like, oh, 7 o'clock, blue blocking glasses on, no more TV. Let me get my chamomile tea. I'm going to bed. I'm sleeping like 9-10 hours a night. I became fiercely protective of myself. And all of this was while I was still in an unhealthy relationship. And it would be a few more years before I finally exited that relationship. But I began to operate differently in it. I started taking myself seriously. And I would call out attempts at gaslighting and manipulation. I started setting boundaries for my safety and for my well-being. And I didn't care if they weren't appreciated. When you experience covert abuse of an emotional and psychological or coercive nature, reality is a very fluid concept. So you may feel an internal sense that something is wrong, but externally, by the abuser and enablers of the abuser, you're told it's not that bad. Maybe you're misunderstanding, or you're contributing to the problem, or you are the problem. But connecting with myself so deeply, I began to trust my internal sense above anything else. When something made me feel dysregulated, it was a signal from my body to pay attention, and I still do. So if I'm being gaslighted and told that whatever was said or done wasn't that serious, but my heart rate is increasing, that's my tether to reality to let me know something happened. It doesn't matter what I'm being told. Something happened and it's affecting me. What a gift. I still have this intense connection to myself and to my body, and it is the way that I live my life now. Now I'm safe and I'm not constantly in a state of dysregulation, but I definitely use my instincts to make decisions. Mainly what I'm looking for is an internal reaction. When I'm around someone, what kind of body language do I have? Are my hands clasped? Is my jaw clenched? Or in this person's presence, do I feel melty and relaxed and open? If I'm making a decision, do I feel bouncy and excited when I think about it? Or do I feel heavy and constricted or avoidant even? And this is a totally new way to live. I now understand that the way that I was living was in an extremely dissociated state, totally disconnected from my body. And the way that I live now, it's like a totally different language and communication that I have with my body. And I go about the world in a way that I haven't for most of my life. It's amazing. And I think developing body awareness when you have experienced especially covert abuse, it's so helpful for tethering you to reality. It's a powerful antidote against manipulation. It increases your sense of self-mastery. It increases your sense of personal power. And these are the things that can help you develop the mental fortitude you need to get yourself to safety. I love the phrase that movement is medicine, because truly, your body understands things quicker and at a more complex level sometimes than you can cognitively comprehend. And when you start to learn the language of your body, you have such an advantage. Now, if you're in a place where you're in an abusive, dysfunctional, toxic relationship or environment, and you can't see your way out of your situation just yet, I would say start learning how your nervous system works. Find a way to regularly move your body, even if it's just walking. And start tracking the way you feel in your body every day. These things, they might be small, but they're investments. They're investments in your strength and your resilience and your mental toughness. And they will pay off in ways that will probably surprise you. So I want you to try an experiment. Just for a week, pick a time during the day to check in with your body. Every day at the same time, stop whatever you're doing and check in with your body. And I want you to be weird about it, okay? I want you to say it out loud. Body, how do you feel? Or if that's too weird, you can just say, how do I feel in my body? And just notice the first thing that comes to your mind. Whatever it is, don't judge it. Don't question it. Just notice it. And keep noticing every time you do it, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? This is how you start to listen to your body. And a lot of people talk about listening to your body in a way that to me comes across very esoteric or even spiritual, which can be off-putting to some. But really at the core, it's just pattern recognition. You begin to observe your bodily sensations objectively, like a weatherman. And your body communicates things to you in subtle patterns that you may not recognize until you start paying attention to it, or until something extreme happens, like it did to me with a full-on nervous breakdown. And you know, it's funny, looking back, leading up to everything that I was experiencing prior to my nervous system going completely haywire, I was experiencing daily headaches at 3 o'clock, which was unusual for me. That should have told me that something was shifting in my body, but I just downed pills and didn't pay attention to it. And how often do we do that? We have these patterns that our body is trying to communicate something to us, and we just deal with the symptom and move on with our life because we're busy, because we're stressed, because we don't have time for it, because of whatever. I did it, so I get it. But if you want to start listening to your body, you have to especially pay attention to any new sensations you start experiencing regularly. Now, you know I love some homework. So there's two books I recommend for a much, much deeper dive on the topic. One is The Body Keeps the Score by Besser van der Kolk, and the other is Body Awareness by Erica Hornthal. I'm also going to include some resources on nervous system education in the description box. I will say The Body Keeps the Score is meant to be kind of like a textbook. So unless you're super nerdy like me, you might not be feeling that book as much, I'm not gonna lie to you, or it's gonna take you like a year to get through it. But body awareness is a very digestible way of understanding how to connect with your body and learning the language of your body. I highly, highly recommend. All right, that's my two cents for today. I want to thank you for listening to today's episode of the Coach Brittany Nicole podcast. And remember, healing is a journey. And I know, trust me, I know it can feel very lonely sometimes. But the reality is you're not alone. Now, if you'd like weekly insights from me, I invite you to join my free online community at CoachBrittanyNicoleWeekly.com. And I want to say too, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably are where I've been before, looking for answers, trying to figure things out, and maybe not even knowing where to begin with that. I understand. I get it. I've been there. I can support you. I invite you to check out my website, CoachBrittanyNicole.com, to find out more about my training methodology and schedule a free 30-minute breakthrough session with me to see if we are a good fit to help you get back on track. Okay? Now, until next time, I hope you take the best care of yourself that you can and keep going.